God has been just banging in my heart and in my mind. And I preached it 7 years ago. And I actually preached, this is one of our sermons that we preached while we were in the States that I did on Zoom here. And I got thinking to myself, I thought, you know what? I have, you know, 7 years apart of preaching the sermon, which is par for the course, typically re-preaching it. But the last time I preached it was on via Zoom here. And again, I can't help but think that you're just not going to, you know, Zoom is not the same, amen, as being right here in person. And so I don't know what the reason is, but there has to be a particular reason that this sermon continued to come back to my heart and my mind for today. So in Proverbs chapter 6, looking in verse 20, Proverbs 6 and verse 20, the Bible says, it says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lean thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." Verse 23. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life." Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be here this morning. We pray now for your continual direction, your guidance, and your mercy in our life. And we ask you to please speak to us through your precious word today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We have used this verse many, 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 many times, and we clearly understand that the Word of God is given by God Himself. That word inspiration only shows up in the Bible twice, here in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy, and in the book of Job, I believe it's 38, verse 2. And both times, there's an associative word with it, and that is the word given. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so, you know, whatever side of the coin that you lie on with the purity and preservation and of the Holy Scripture that we have right here, wherever you may be, the bottom line is God gave the scripture the way we have it today in our life. And it is the scripture, guys, are to be magnified in our life. They are to be magnified in our heart. We are magnified in our actions and in our livelihood. Winston Churchill said of the scriptures, he said, "We reject with scorn all those learned and labor myths that Moses was but a legendary figure upon whom the priesthood and the people hung their essential social, moral, and religious ordinances." He goes on to say, "We believe that the most scientific view and the most up-to-date and rationalistic conception will find its fullest satisfaction in taking the Bible story literally and in identifying one of the greatest human beings with the most decisive leaps forward ever discernible of human history, or human story." He finishes out by saying this concerning the scripture: "We may be sure that all things happen just as they are set out according to the Holy Writ. In the words of the forgotten work of Mr. Gladstone, we rest with assurance upon the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture." That's what we rest on today, the impregnable rock of the Holy Scriptures. Proverbs 7:3 says, "Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart." Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 8 and 9 says, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets," it says, "frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house on and on the front gates." Beloved, the Word of God is something that we cannot even many a times even fathom or even understand or even get to the point to where if we back away from it, guys, if we remove our hearts from where we should be, understanding the purity of its precious nature, the purity of the Holy Scripture. So my friend, I want to encourage us today as we begin to go into this message and get into this sermon that we need to understand that they are to be written inside of our hearts and our souls. They are to be written inside of our lives and how we need to take them to heart, everything that is said, and not look at one story whatsoever, one illustration of the Word of God, one illustration of the truth of the Bible as being fictitious or as being solely metaphorical or anything along that line, but to remember today that the Holy Word should be bound upon our table, should be written upon the table of our life, my friend. When we look at what the Bible says there in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where we still are. When we look at that, the Bible says, "Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand." The hands speak of our work, our doings. that we must be guided through the precepts of the holy written word. The Jews would take and bind phylacteries upon the hands and the arms as a sign and a reminder of the word of God. So when we look in our hands, they are a picture of our work. When you shake hands with someone, and some men will have a rough and a gritty and even a strong hand, you know what kind of labor, what kind of job they have. They have a manual labor. It is a picture of their work. And then you shake hands with a man, and he's got a soft little fish handshake, and he's got them soft little prissy hands. You know good and well he's not out shoveling or using a hammer, that he's doing something else. I'm not diminishing that by any strength, any thought of the imagination, but I am saying this morning, that the hands speak of our works, and the word of God should be bound upon our works in our life. The eyes, the Bible tells us there that they should be, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. The eyes speak of our vision, our ways, my friend. That should filter, and that everything that we do should be filtered and examined through the written word of God, as frontless between thine eyes. You know what the Jews would do? The Jews would take a leather phylactery again, and it would be bound around their head, and just right between there would be a small little teeny leather box that would contain written scriptures of the word of God. And that way, no matter where they looked, somehow they were physically looking through a resemblance of the word of God. Now, we understand this is a spiritual teaching to us. I mean, we could do all the physical things, guys. We could wear the t-shirts that's got the word of God on it. We could get all kinds of, we could get all 66 books tattooed on our body if we wanted to, right? We could do all of those things, and we could put lenses on that has scriptures on the lenses themselves. And if our life, if our works are not living through it, all of that is for naught, okay? All of it is for naught. The writing, my friend, the Bible tells us, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. The writings become a universal truth of the things that we repeat and we resound, which are to be the word of God. That which we surround our life with today will reflect in the life of those within our sphere of influence. What we do in this life and where we go and how we attribute the things in our days and the words that we say and the people that we are around, whatever we surround ourselves with, reflects in the life of those that are around us. So, the beloved Paul said this. He said that we are an epistle, okay, known and read of all men. Most often our life and action and deed, our words and function and creed become the only Bible that this world will ever read. I don't know if you've kept up with many of the things in the news. I try not to keep up with everything that's going on in the world today and everything that's going on in the news. But I do see churches around the globe on the backside of this, or I don't know if we're on the backside of this so-called pandemic or what's going on, but these mega churches, mainly that are in the United States, many of them now are going solely to remote sessions because giving has dropped off so largely. These big, massive, 40 and 50,000, buildings that they're, you know, there's one church in Texas, which is, I tell you, we shouldn't be called a church. There's one community group center in Texas that they bought out one of the old basketball stadiums there, and that's their so-called church now. And it's nothing more than a profiteering, and it's nothing more than a prosperity gospel, and your best life now, and all this garbage that they teach and whatnot, this lie that they give. But all of those big things, this mushroom with that huge, incomes over the years, giving has dropped off now. And a lot of these, many of these places now are going solely to Zoom lessons and remote teaching and all this and that, because what's happening today is the deeds and the words and the functions and the creeds of the Holy Scriptures in men and women's lives are beginning to fall by the wayside. You know, my friend, we live in a world today where they want to change the Word of God to fit them, and rather than you changing your life to fit the Word of God. I'm just going to make it very crystal clear. I reject and detest any modern version of the Holy Scripture. It is not a Bible, period. Okay? I'm just going to go ahead and say that. It's not the proper root. It doesn't have the touch of God on it. It's not the Word of God. It is a critical text. Hence, that's where it came from, the critical text. And we should run from it. We should flee from it. Our life, though, beloved, needs to line up with the Holy. I'll give you an example here. I'm not going to chase a rabbit on this, I promise. But we know that we're told in Ephesians chapter 5 that husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We're the position of sacrifice. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. But just before that, it says submit yourself one to another. That's what makes for a happy, blessed, precious marriage. Amen? Well, Genesis chapter 3 tells us that the Lord tells Eve, he says that your desire shall be unto your husband. That's AV 1611. Except the, I believe it's the ESV, you know, the English substandard version. The ESV says that you shall be contrary to your husband. So I want you to, I want to ask you a question here. When God, the first institution that he ordained on this planet in his creation was marriage, and the two became one, and he created Eve to be a helpmeet and to complete Adam, and they became a unit to glorify God in perfect, holy matrimony and unity. And yet you got a perverted script that you're going to put your faith and trust in that says, wives, you should be contrary to your husband. It's a lie. It's a lie. It ain't good for toilet paper. Amen? So I'm just going to leave that there, and, you know, like it, lump it, doesn't matter. It's truth. All right? Beloved, our life, though, according to the Word of God, our life must be a love letter written by God, depicting his righteous stance before man, his reverent heart unto creation, and his relative mind in our life. Beloved, we are to love the Word of God. I mean, absolutely love the Word of God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all that we have, we are to embrace his precious Word, and our deepest affections should be found in this life to abound in the depths of his glorious Scripture. There is nothing greater on this planet than this perfect, pure Word right here. Nothing at all. And with our heart fixed, our mind focused, with our body fueled by the Scripture, the Word of God becomes a fortress in our life each and every day. So notice there with me in our text in Proverbs 6, verse 22, the Bible says, when thou awakest, okay, look at verse 22, and when thou goest, it shall lead thee, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, the precious Word of God is a prescription, point number one, to be applied daily. Daily. Paul writes of the inward man and his daily renewal in 2 Corinthians 4:16, saying, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How do you think the inward man, that born-again soul, that new man that is inside, how can he be renewed every single day? By a daily prescription of the Word of God. He writes further in Romans 12:2 of the renewing of our mind in relation to being transformed rather than being conformed to this world. So how are we to do so? How are we to do these things? How are you and I going to be transformed, having our mind renewed? How can we, as frail and failed mankind, be renewed in our mind daily? By applying the Word of God in our lives. The Bible states, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself, watch this, and them that hear thee. Now, we've always heard actions speak louder than words, and they do. They do. But people are going to remember and hear your words quite often, but especially when they line up with your actions. When you take a stand and you draw a line in the sand, you know, you go, there's my line, not going past it. No matter what, that I'm not doing. People are going to respect that. When you stand upon something that is perfect, when you stand upon something that is pure, when you look inside the depths of the Holy Word of God today and have your mind renewed and understand that you're to continue in this Word of God, and people in this world today, they see your faithfulness, they see your steadfastness, they see you continuing in the words that you've taken into heart, but same the words that you say, a man or a woman that does what they say and say what they do will bring somebody to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ one way or another. Or the flip side, the opposite, a person who doesn't do what they say and doesn't say what they do, amen, will push them away further. I believe we have a great responsibility in this world, but man, we should have an absolute love for the daily application. You know, one thing I do enjoy about January, every January, I try to do something different with my reading. Last year, January 2020 or 2021, I read the Bible in 1 month and loved it. And I'm not going to say it wasn't simple, wasn't easy, but I absolutely loved it. Now I'm going through the Bible, I'm reading the Bible in 90 days, and I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving that. I'm loving my scripture writing that we're continuing to do. I'm loving that. I absolutely love it, guys. And I find that the more I can get into it and just let His Word speak to me and sink into my heart and write it upon the table of my soul, I see the actions. I see the difference that it has in my daily walk and how it feeds me and how it replenishes my soul and how it replenishes my mind. And I mean, even in the midst of just busyness and everything, like this morning, I had a list of things that I had to get done before I came over here, then a list of things to do when I got over here. But just by getting into that Word in the wee hours of the morning and reading all of those chapters and going through all these events, my soul, man, I'm sure the caffeine helped as well this morning, but I'm just telling you, I was replenished, I was revived. I mean, it just makes you excited, amen, because it's a daily application of the Holy Scripture. It just is, man. The preciousness of the Word of God is a prescription, point number one, to be applied daily. Point number two, it becomes, in our life, a director. Look at verse 23 there, Proverbs 6 with me, Will. It becomes a director. Look at verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Guys, the Word of God is a lamp that leads the lost soul to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This we understand. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? But it is the pinnacle piece of the puzzle that mankind seeks in fulfillment on a regular basis. Mankind wants to be guided. You know, I think one of the evidences of moral decline, societal decline, just the degradation of society as a whole today, is the outward view of complacency. I've never in my life seen and read in history, or lived through a generation that is more infected with complacency than the one that we live in right now. Never. You see, mankind has always had a drive to find that piece of the puzzle in their life of fulfillment. They want to be fulfilled in some way, shape, form, or fashions. But we live in a world today where men, women, and even children are destroying their bodies only to present their souls for an eternity into hell's condemnation. They're destroying their body through substances. They're looking for some kind of kick. Alcohol consumption alone, guys. We are the 23rd largest nation in the world with 63 million people in the United Kingdom. America is the fourth largest nation in the world with 340 some odd million people. China and India obviously are the top of the charts with both 1.3 and 1.2 billion people in their nations. But with only 64 million people in the United Kingdom, we rank number 8 in the world of alcohol consumption. Now, do the math, man. I mean, why? I mean, because they're looking for peace. Our society is looking for fulfillment, and they may say they're looking for fun, but at the root of it all, guys, it's fulfillment that they're searching for, the missing piece in their own personal life. How many homes have been brought to ruins by that which cannot be obtained? In searching for this peace, but it's so easily gathered from the local shop. I think it's an actual detestable crime when I see photos of, you know, sons and daughters turning 14 and them having a glass of alcohol in their home with the parents. Those parents should go to jail for child abuse, in my opinion. Allowed to drink at 16 years of age. I mean, and you're going to take advice from a government that passes stupidity laws like that? I mean, guys, there comes a time in our life we've got to wake up. But the Bible tells us, verse 23, again, the word of God is a lamp. It's a light. So I know I get angry at the sin of this world, and we should be angry at the sin of this world. But at the end of the day, we got to stop and think, they do it because they're walking in darkness. And so you bring the Word of God into our life, and the Word of God is that lamp. I don't know about you. I mean, of course, we're in the dark time of the year right now, and so it really doesn't matter what time you get up. It's going to be dark. But many a times I'm up at or, you know, 4:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And when I walk down the steps, I'm walking down the steps, it's pitch black everywhere. And I'm feeling that step, and I'm walking down sideways, mind you, because it's that early in the morning. And I'm feeling where I'm going. And you guys, I'm sure, have done this before. But, you know, you get on that last step, you know, or actually there's one more, and you think that you're on the last one, and then you miss it, and it hurts, you know. You're going down the floor in that big of an area. It's because you can't see. You're stumbling in the dark, okay? Now, we know, we understand that physically. We know what that's like, to stumble in the dark. There is no difference whatsoever, other than the ramifications, to stumble in the dark spiritually. A lamp, that it's the Word of God is a lamp and a light. It's a lamp that it may be a director of our path. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is a lamp that it may guide our every step. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a verse that we all know by heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's a lamp that it may enable our goings to be established. Proverbs 4, 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. It is a lamp that within our heart the Lord may reign supremely throughout our life. It is a light that it may bring to manifest the hidden things of our heart. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring the light, bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. It is a light that the truth may be revealed in us of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, John 3:21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Think about that for a second. Just 1 second, we got another verse to look at, but think about it. He that doeth truth, cometh to the light. Why do you go to the light? Because your deeds may be manifest. Why? So that those deeds may be known to the world, that they're wrought, that they're created, that they're built in God. It is a light, my friend, that directs our life and brings honor and not shame. Ephesians 5:13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Oh, the majesty of the Word of God, guys. The beauty of the Holy Scriptures and that which it can bring into our life. The preciousness of the Word of God is a prescription applied daily. It becomes in our life a director because, finally, this morning, its nature is divine. Verse 21 tells us, bind them continually upon thine heart. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Beloved, the reason we are to bind them upon our heart is found in verse 22 that we just looked at. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. Beloved, this precious book here that I have before me here this morning is a book of divine nature, containing the divine deity of who have given this word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this concept alone, when accepted fully and faithfully, opens up the prescription of God's blessing in full array. And we must accept the fact that the nature of the Word of God is divine, just as much as the nature of sin is devilish. To deny the divinity of this Word right here is to commit a crime against heaven. To say that this is just a good translation with, you know, oh, it's got the good thoughts and ideas, you don't know the thoughts of God. Amen? God said himself, my thoughts are higher than thy thoughts, my ways higher than thy ways. If you think you're educated or intelligent enough to determine what is or is not the Word of God today, guys, you are far off the mark. Beloved, the Bible tells us clearly, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as sincerity, but as God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. It's heaven's words, not man's. Do we have the right to believe by faith the written preserved word, but it's been given to us and granted to us this precious day. You know, I was reviewing the seven English versions of the Bible that led to our EV today in 1611, beginning in 1604, and the men that came before and wanted the Bible in the English language, and you know, all of them coming from the TR for the most part. And of course, obviously the King James, even though it considered Tyndale's and Wycliffe's work, it mainly the work that the translators did performed was performed from the Textus Receptus by the hand of God. Okay. And I got to thinking about what a precious time it is for us to be alive. Thank God I wasn't alive and living in the Reformation period. Praise God today that we have a completed, perfect work that's purified for the layman today. I think of when Henry VIII finally gave in and gave allowance and even funded for the Bible to be written in English. He did so, and it was called the Great Bible, okay? You know, King James is the one that authorized it to be translated in its English version for every person in the world, not just, you know, every person in the street. The Plowman's Bible, not just for the laity, not the lady, but not for just the clergy to get up here. That Great Bible was a massive book like this, and they chained it to the pulpit. Do you know the only reason they chained it to the pulpit? So that somebody couldn't take it and read it for themselves. That's dictatorship, man. That's Lord. That's lording over God's heritage, amen. And to think that the root of that organization is in evil, what do you think, my soul? This is heaven's words, not man. We don't have the right to bind this anywhere else, but bind it in our own heart, bind it in our own soul. It is given and granted to us today. Its divine nature enables us to live according to God's will and his wishes. Gives us the ability to please him. On which is the only thing that matters. It's only the divine nature of the Word of God that can produce such a direction and such a daily basis. But it must be accepted by faith. It's not going to be accepted by intellect. If we're going to accept the Word of God by faith, that's the only thing that's going to please God. The Bible tells us, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Intellect and energy may be used, and I believe you should get as much of both as you can. But that which pleases our Lord today is faith, believing the divinity of his word, allowing his directing hand through the Holy Scriptures to guide our every step in a daily, daily manner. So, beloved, I ask you this, and I'm closing here this morning. Do you believe in the majesty of the Word of God today? Do you believe in the almighty power of this precious word sat before you this morning? Will you believe by faith that you may daily administer the prescription of the Word of God and get God's direction through his divine presence through his written word? That's the question today. That's the test. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, he says, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Beloved, the inspired Word of God, that is to say, the God-given word is as dear and a sweet friend that we listen to by faith. For it says, when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. There's no other book that can speak to you like the precious scripture can. There's no other book that can speak to your heart, soul, and mind like this precious Bible can. And I don't know about you. I trust that everybody in here has had this experience, but I wake up in the morning time and I kick my feet up off the bed and I say my prayer. And many a times, just before I go into those prayers, in that morning time, the first moments of the awakened period, there's a verse, there's a scripture, there's something that bears witness upon my heart and my soul and helping me go through this day. It is a sheer blessing. It is an unbelievable thought. To me, guys, there is nothing more precious than this word right here. For what this word will do in our life, nothing else can do. There is no book that a man can write today that is living and divine as the nature of the AV 1611 that you have before you this morning, this precious word of God. And thus, if you will apply it daily and allow it to direct your soul and believe by faith that it is divine, you'll go through this life not fearing what man can do, trusting solely and wholly in what he has done and where you will be. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and who and what you are. We pray that you would just take this word, apply it into our lives, dear God, make a difference in our souls. I do love you and thank you for all that you've done. And I pray, Lord God, that you would take and help us go throughout the rest of this day, Lord, to glorify in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray in advance for the upcoming meetings and services that we'll have this week, both Bible study on Friday and prayer meeting on Friday morning. Lord, even as we look for part two of moving forward this coming Sunday, Lord, I pray that you prepare our hearts, souls, and mind, dear God, in a great and mighty and wonderful way. So, Lord, I love you, dear God, and ask that you walk with us this morning. Keep us safe. Remember the prayers that has gone before thy throne already today, and please answer them according to thy precious will. Lord, thank you for a sweet spirit today. Thank you for the sweet song in advance, dear God, in the time of prayer. And we give you all the honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope and pray the sermon you just heard was a tender blessing to your heart and to your soul. I hope that it gives you the encouragement, edification to face the challenges that we see each and every day and week throughout our life. I'd like to invite you out to one of our live services here at Seren Chapel in Aberaman. We are located on Lewis Street as well as Davis Street. Davis Street is the entrance to our chapel, and as well as Lewis Street is the entrance to our hall, and you can use either one of them. But secondly today, guys, I would like to share just a brief message to you now to ask you to where you are going in eternity. If today was the last day you were alive, if today, by some tragedy, this is the last moment you had on this earth, when you closed your eyes, would you wake up and see Jesus Christ? It is a simple question, guys, and it is even a more simple answer. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, paid the ultimate price for mankind. He gave us the free pass to eternal life by giving his life on the cross of Calvary, being buried into that grave, but rising again on the third day. It is simple as this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, guys, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he gave his life. As a matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is defined as the transgression of God's law. But what happened was the payment for mankind is death. Romans 6:23 clearly tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you today, What would stop you right here, right now, from bowing your head and saying a prayer much like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you stepped up out of the grave to give us victory over sin and victory over death. I invite you into my heart and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask you to lead, God, and direct me throughout the rest of my life. Now, here's the thing. You say that prayer in your own words, but you have to say it and believe in it. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the word of God. That is a promise from God himself. That is the promise from the creator of all things, that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask forgiveness of your sins, accept his free gift and pardon of sin into your heart today, that you will be born again, that you will have eternal life in heaven. Guys, I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. I hope and pray that you'd make that decision. And if you have, if you've made that decision today, let us rejoice with you. Come by and see us here at the church, or hit us up online at any of the social media outlets or through email or however you can. Just share with us the glorious transformation that you just received in your life. Guys, I hope to see you soon in the house of God. Hope to see you soon right here in Seren Chapel. And may the Lord be with each and every one of you. God bless.